Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Now, as we've noted a couple of times, Luke lays out his narrative geographically. And geography, one of my favorite subjects in school, comes into play once again as Luke reminds us right now of where Jesus is ultimately headed. This kind of marks the center of a big section that started in Luke chapter 9, 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, in many ways, Jesus just, like, he's still in Galilee. He's going around traveling, so he's not going on a beeline to Jerusalem. But the purpose of his life is going up to Jerusalem, which cast a ominous air about the narrative, because he is going to Jerusalem, yes, to be welcomed by the adoring crowds, shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And then less than a week later, he would be betrayed, he would suffer and die on the cross. And so we're reminded, as he is teaching, as he is healing, that his ultimate purpose is to go to Jerusalem. And ultimately, this is the celebration, because he's going to die for the sins of all of his people. So Jesus journeys toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" Will those who are saved be few? Now, it was the assumption among many of Jesus' hearers that salvation worked something like this. If you were a good little Jewish boy or girl, and you didn't do anything really bad, like use the name of the Lord in vain, or deny the resurrection, or, you know, sell out to the enemies, you were one of the saved. You were the good people. You were the people who were going to inherit salvation. You were going to be saved from God's judgment and wrath. You were in. And those people out there, the Gentiles and all those evildoers, they were the ones who were going to face God's ultimate judgment. Now, this unnamed person asks this question because he's been listening to Jesus. And if you've been listening to Jesus the last couple of chapters, you might be thinking, boy, is anyone going to be saved from God's wrath? After all, Jesus has been saying something like, Luke 12, 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Luke 12, 20, God said to him, to the rich man building the barns, "Fool, this very night your soul is required of you." All of these warnings about judgment have Jesus' listeners thinking, boy, maybe all of the good little boys and girls aren't going to be saved. Maybe it's going to be just a few people who are going to be saved. Jesus' answer to this question is not going to be exactly yes or no, but it gets to a point, and it's something that every single person across the world needs to take seriously, that salvation is not going to be something just doled out to anybody who doesn't do anything bad. It's often, are only a few going to be saved? And some people will be like, oh yeah, you know, Everybody, you know, is kind of good. You know, maybe Hitler is going to hell, but not me. I've done a few things. You know, I only cheat on my taxes occasionally. Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able. We're going to look at this text very carefully, because in this one word, strive, is the only command in the whole passage we're going to look at. It's the only thing it tells you to do, and it's to strive. About half the time they translate this word as fight. It's the word for like an athletic contest where people are running a race, they're running as fast as they can, or they're wrestling, and you see wrestlers, not like pro wrestlers who are like, I'm waiting for this guy to get up so I can swing around here. No, like Greco-Roman wrestlers who are on the ground, they're just like giving everything they got. This is strive to enter through the door, and don't mistake, Jesus says are going to be saved few. Entering the door here is salvation. Now, it's a narrow door, and we're going to talk about why it's a narrow door. Strive means that salvation is not for the strollers, it's for the strivers. Now, people go out for a stroll. A stroll is you're just walking around. Walking around, enjoying things, you know. You might get tired and be like, oh, you know, I'll just take a break here, sit down, relax, enjoy the air. A striver, I think it was striver. Do you remember when they had the Olympic sport of speed walking? This is the worst Olympic sport in the entire history of Olympic sports. I mean, this is okay, I'm not going to say anything about women's basketball. I coach girls. Girls are awesome. But they're like walking, they're like, and they're like going as fast as they can, and like that is striving. They're like almost cheating because you can't get your legs. I forget how it works. This word should be a wake-up call to anyone who thinks that the life they live is just going to kind of be default going to heaven. Because Jesus says, strive to enter through that door. Don't just stroll. Jesus says this is a narrow door. I picture a narrow door somewhat like this. Yes, this is a cat video. Yes, I've sunk to a new low in preaching. Look at how small that hole is. I should have showed you the rest of the video where they make it smaller and then the cat can't get through. And then the cat decides to like run at it and just like crashes into it. Doesn't help to run, but cats are hilarious. Now, when Jesus talks about the narrow door, this is a warning to take entering through it seriously, but Jesus is not saying that it's because it's very difficult and only someone cat-sized can get through, like, thing. In fact, the way of salvation is easy enough for anyone to enter through, but it's narrow for two reasons, and the text is going to show us those reasons. The door is narrow. Some will not be able to enter for one, because they won't enter in time. And second, they won't enter because they won't want to. So time and desire will keep them from entering. So Jesus goes on, they won't be able to because, verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Jesus says, the door is narrow because some will not enter in time. Now, this picture of getting locked outside is supposed to invoke fear in the people. Like, don't wait outside, come through the door. Come through the door. This reminds me of one time in my life I got locked outside, and this is an embarrassing story because it goes back to early in Kari and I's marriage. And I know, like, we seem like nice people, but so she's a first child, I'm like second of eight kids, and so we're both like oldest, and we're both very determined, very stubborn people. And so things worked well a lot, but sometimes when we got into an argument, like we really, really got into an argument. And there was one time, like we were in an argument, and I was so mad, and I still remember, I was wearing boxer shorts and a t-shirt, and I remember this, because it was about minus 20 outside. And I was so mad at Kari that I did the only thing I thought I could do and still be a reasonable human being is I just walked outside and shut the door. With no shoes, boxer shorts, minus 20 and a t-shirt. And I was in such a rage that Kari did the reasonable thing and she locked the door. And she stood there staring at me. And I stood there staring at her, and immediately I realized how repentant I was and how quickly my feet were going to be frostbitten. Because we had like a solid door there. If she doesn't let me in, I'm probably going to freeze to death or run to the neighbors half-dressed, which would have been weird too. That would have required a lot, shedding a lot of humility. Now, being locked out, now she did let me in after about, it was a while, but she did, after I was begging. Being locked out of a good place is a horrible thing. And Jesus gives this warning out of love. And to his original people, this is a warning. This is very serious because here he is, God in the flesh, teaching him, and they are going to ignore him. And pretty soon, the Romans are coming, and the country is going to be devastated. In less than 30 years, or 35 years. And this warning still rings true today. Because the door is there of salvation. Like, it's a narrow door, but it's a door that's open. And anyone who wants to can walk through the door of Jesus Christ. All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Open that door and walk through. The fact that it's narrow doesn't mean that you can't walk through it. It means that some people miss it. The warning is to walk through that door before it's too late. Because one day the final trumpet's going to sound. One day you are going to meet your earthly end and you will face the judgment, and you better not be outside of the door at that moment, because none of the knocking that you could do in the world is going to let you in, because once the master of the house closes the door, it is closed. So walk through the door. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved before it's too late. So you don't want to be outside. You don't want to be outside when the door shuts. Jesus goes on, says, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Now, if this is any illusion of like, this is like some far off example, but Jesus is like making this so entirely personal here when he says, you will say, we ate and drank in your presence. He's talking about his ministry right here, how he sat in some of these homes of the Pharisees, sat in the homes, God in the flesh, over for dinner, and you missed the salvation that was offered. For them, it increases the judgment because it was right there. But this is a warning that still rings true, and it especially rings true in this room, if you're joining us online, that proximity to Jesus does not equal walking through the door of salvation. Just hanging around the courtyard isn't walking through the door of salvation. Some people think if they just have like, they're just sort of like, they edge in, you know, they roll into church, they open their Bibles, but none of that is walking through the door of salvation. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way in. How tragic it would be if some of us sitting right here got on the day and found themselves on the outside knocking at the door and says, didn't we go to church Sunday morning? Didn't we attend the Bible study? Didn't we watch some wholesome Christian programming on television? Didn't we tune in online to the guy who waves his arms? But he will say, I do not know where you come from. It's kind of a weird thing. Why does it say, I do not know where you come from? And this is a devastating critique to Jesus' listeners. Because we just talked, it's Father's Day. And they took this lineage of their father so seriously that they are children of Abraham. And that was the thing they were banking their salvation from. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know where you come from. You might count a physical lineage, but it counts for nothing at this door. Only your relationship to me. In that place, it's on the outside, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I didn't even look up this phrase, like what's this phrase like in Greek? Because I think it gets the point across pretty well. Weeping, gnashing of teeth, bad things. You don't want to be among the weepers and gnashers of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's the fathers, that's the people they thought, we are from there. Jesus says, I don't know where you're from. And all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out. And people will come from the east and west and from the north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. So, what was the original question they asked Jesus? Yeah. Will only a few be saved? Will it be many who are saved? Will it be few who are saved? And the answer here is yes and no. It will be few, because among these people who are listening to Jesus right now, only a few of them are going to walk through that door of salvation and find Jesus Christ. But then again, many are going to be saved. You read this, because many from the north and the south and the east and the west, all across the blessed world, individuals are going to be saved. And so we think about that narrow door. Don't think about the narrow door as God barring the way of salvation, because the way of salvation is open for any who will go through in time. It's a narrow way because it's like the cat going through the thing. Like the cat, I hear, can go through any hole they can put their head through. Same thing with people. We can go through any door that our heads will fit through. It's just some people's heads are too big to go through the door. They're too big on self-importance and pride and saying, no, I don't need that. I got things figured out on my own. You know, I got science and... Here, anybody who's putting their trust in science, just... On the day when they're like, hey, you know, we don't have any more treatment for you. On that day when science fails, you're going to think differently. The way of salvation will be entered through by many here. But only those who go in time and have the desire. Oh yeah, I don't want to miss this, recline at table, which is a beautiful picture, again, of those being outside who have this great sadness, but those inside are there for the party, to be served by God himself. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. And to Jesus' original hearers, those people who were first, the Pharisees, the people who were exalted, the priests, those in the seats of power who were first in all the eyes, who said, oh, those are the holy people, they will be last in so much they will be outside of the kingdom. But those who are currently last, like the Gentiles, the people they would have said were workers of evil, are going to be the first ones, those seated at the table being served by God himself. And this phrase holds true even today. Because as the door is narrow to salvation, but you can't fit through with a big head, often the people from the nicer parts of town who have wealth, who have life figured out to themselves, don't find salvation in Jesus Christ. But those who know their desperate need for salvation, who can fit through the narrow door because they've been humbled by life circumstances, these are the ones that so often find Jesus. And we always need to make sure that our church has room for the least, or else we may find ourselves being last. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, hey, Jesus. I do Pharisee voice. Hey, Jesus, get away from here. For Herod wants to kill you. Okay. I'm a little curious here. Now, Jesus has just been teaching about how people that he's speaking to aren't going to be saved, but all of these outsiders and maybe Gentiles are going to find salvation. And this is a concept that the Pharisees hate. Like, this is why they almost threw him off a cliff at the beginning of his ministry, is this very idea. And now they're like, hey, Jesus, warning, Herod is going to kill you. So you kind of have to wonder, like, is this really, are they just trying to get rid of Jesus here? Be like, they're scaring him off. Well, it's not going to work, because he says, and he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Now, the main point of this sermon is, you know, go through that narrow door. But this is a little note about how to live a life free from anxiety. Living a life free from anxiety doesn't mean that you won't have pain and difficulty. Because Jesus here says, the third day, I finish my course. And if you're thinking in your mind, that sounds like it is finished on the cross, it's probably a reference to that. And Jesus knows he's going to, we talk about, he's going to Jerusalem. He set his face. He knows he's going to die. But he also knows he's not going to get killed by some random Herod Antipas while he's in Galilee, because God has him going to Jerusalem. And this is the key to getting free from anxiety, is there might be some very difficult paths for you to go through. But if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, he is going to get you to where you need to go. And it may be a hard road, but you can face it with the attitude, be like, God has me going where I need to be. And it may be a hard path, but he will give me everything I need moment by moment to get there. Like Jesus, he just continues on. He's like, nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. He's just like, yeah, he wants to kill me. Sure, try me. I know where I'm going to die. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Now, with the mention of Jerusalem, this text turns one more time. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, and the stones and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Notice the tenderness here in God's voice, in Jesus' voice, as he considers his lost sheep. Just like David said, O Absalom, O Absalom. This is, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. And how God wanted to gather them with this picture of, have you ever seen like a chicken? It's like got the chicks. He just wants to like gather them under his wings with all of the safety and protection offered there, but they would not. And this brings me to the second reason people can't enter through the door. The one was it might be too late, and the second is they may not want to. Because God isn't this vengeful deity just looking for little things to go wrong. He is the mother hen waiting to spread his wing of protection over all who would enter in. And the only thing keeping you from that protection is if you don't want it. It's if you don't want it. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The forsaken house prophesied by Jeremiah 12:7, I have forsaken my house. Psalm 118, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The destruction of the city is coming in AD 70, and the Jewish people would not see their Savior again until they acknowledge him as the Blessed One. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the door of the, of the, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For us, we see strive to enter through the narrow door. The strive is to fight, because you don't go strolling into the kingdom. You strive to enter through the door. And there's only two things that keep you out. The one is you won't. God isn't looking to keep you out. He's looking to protect you with his wing. And so if you desire salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. Say, Jesus Christ, save me. I need you. And you will be saved. You don't need to do any work. You don't need to be righteous to come. All you need is Jesus Christ. And you could have him by calling out his name. And the second warning, the door is narrow because one day it will be too late. Now, it's so cheesy when the salespeople are always like, oh, limited time deal. You got to accept this today. And I never like, bother. Like, yeah, you can give me that deal tomorrow. I'm not gonna fall for this trap. I've read the sales book. I know how this works. One day it will be too late. A door is narrow, but anyone can walk through today. One day you will not have that opportunity, because once the door is shut, it is shut. Don't be among those left on the outside, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk through that door. He wants to offer you his protection to the place where you'll never be cast out. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that each one here will walk through that door that is wide open, the name of Jesus Christ for all who would be saved. I pray that you would give them the heart to want to, so that they say, Lord God, I can't do it on my own. I repent of my sins and I believe in you to be saved. I pray that you would bless them with your Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, to walk in your ways and to strive through the narrow path with the light burden of Jesus Christ, and find the day when we have the party and enter in and rest and recline at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.